Heavenly Father, I just love you tonight, Lord God. I pray that you would guide your word tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place. I thank you for your fellowship. I thank you for your love, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here today, Lord God, that you are guiding our words, our thoughts, our actions, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that we came, Lord God, desiring more of you. We came, Lord Jesus, desiring that we may be with you, Lord Jesus, and that you would make us more like you each and every single day, Lord God. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that your blessing hand, that your favor, that your word and your truth would reach down on each and every single one of us, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to our lives, Lord God, that we may be created in your image and that we may embody your image, Lord God, that we may be a light in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to go with what I worked on today, because this is a message that's been very heavy and hard on my heart over the last couple weeks. This is a message maybe of warning and a message of hope tonight. And I'm praying that God will just let it come out gracefully. I'm praying that he will let his words flow forth and not my own. But I want you to know that this is a message of more than anything, this is a message of love. Because what I have realized is that the people of this world are so confused right now. The people of this world are so deceived. The people of this world don't know the truth. And the reality of it is they're telling everybody non-truths. And we're going around and believing it. And we're going around and we're teaching it to our children. And we're going around confused because we don't know the truth ourselves. Right? I know that it sickens me when I read the news about seventh graders having to change their shirts because it says we are male or female. Having to change their shirt. I know that it sickens me that we've got secret meetings in some of our school systems where they're talking to our children about gender identities. I know that we live in a world that is filled with lies and deceit, maybe more now than ever. And this is not an easy topic to stand up here and bring up. I'm not going to pretend like it is. But here is what I'm going to say. It's my job that when I stand up here, that I say what God's laid on my heart and that I'm sharing the truth. And tonight, I want to be able to give each and every one of you a key to the truth. I want to be able to give each and every one of you a way that when you're out in this crazy and messed up world and all you hear are lies that are coming in from the enemy and you begin to get confused, I want to share a way that you can find your way back to the truth. I want to share a way where you can come back and know what is right and what is wrong. Because it's hard to know what is right and what is wrong in the world that we live in right now. Because there are people that you look up to. There are people that we teach you to look up to respect, that are confused. There are adults in our society today that do not know right from wrong. And they are not teaching it to our children. And it's our job to make sure that you know what is right and what is wrong. It's our job to teach you not just that, but to let you know where to find it and how to figure it out. And this has been such a burden on my heart over the last couple weeks that I want to be able to share it with you tonight. Because it's so very important. You know, a few weeks back I taught on generations. And listen, generation, if you don't know how to find the truth, you will get absorbed by lies and deceit. If you don't know where to go to search for the truth, then you'll fade away to lies. If you don't know to stand upon the word of God, then when the lies come in waves and in storms and in floods sometimes, you will be washed away. Because you know what? The reality of it is it's happened to all of us. There's all been times in our lives where we've been deceived by lies, right? There's all been times in our lives where we can have the best intentions and be confused by false prophets. But tonight I want to share where we can go to always find the truth. And so we're going to talk tonight and we're going to look at 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 12 through 17. If you'll stand for the reading of the word. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child," say from a child, "thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for the doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You may be seated. So here we are in this letter to Timothy. And Paul is writing to Timothy right now to encourage him. And he's writing to him to give him counsel because right now Timothy is in the midst of persecution. He has a growing ministry. He is trying to lead a church and he is being overwhelmed by false doctrine. He is being overwhelmed by people coming in with lies and false teachers that are rising up against him and rising up against the word of God. I mean, does that not sound like the world that we live in today? The problems that we face aren't new problems. There was false doctrine. Back in the time of Timothy, there were apostles, there were those that were lying, there was people tried to deceive and to manipulate and to change the word of God. But Scripture simply calls out two very key people. It says first, there are two types of men. The first type of men in verse 13 is an evil man. Let me explain to you. An evil man is somebody that is obviously evil. An evil man is a person that is obviously an enemy to Jesus. This is somebody that proclaims it, right? This is somebody that walks up and says that they don't believe in God. This is somebody who will blaspheme his name. This is someone who is wicked and is doing evil in this world. But the second person, that second person is called a seducer. And what that's really saying is this second person is an imposter. This second person is somebody that appears good. That's somebody that people actually think very highly of because they look like they're fine. They seem like they're living a good life on the outside, but in the heart, they're imposters. And the whole purpose of imposters are for them to be destructive forces against Jesus and against his word. And we've got both of those that are coming against us each and every day. We've got the evil men that we can clearly see, but then we've also got these imposters. And the truth of it is I feel like right now in the world that we live in, we've got way more imposters than we can even count. It's hard to even know who to believe upon, who to trust, who to turn to. And know why. It's because their evil shall wax worse and worse. Why? Because they are deceiving and they themselves are being deceived. Listen, that's a key point. First off, the evil men are deceiving. They're making these imposters. And even the good are being deceived. And because they're being deceived, it is making this evil grow worse and worse. The word deceived means to make somebody believe something that's not true. It means to practice deceit. It means to give a false impression. I mean, very simply, it means that somebody's going to tell you a lie and you're going to believe it. That's what to be deceived is. As somebody comes up to you, they tell you a lie, and you're going to believe it. And that's exactly what evil does. Evil comes at you so that they can deceive you, a lot of times because they themselves have already been deceived. They may come at you with the purest intentions, but because they themselves have been deceived, they are sharing that same information with you, and you too are falling into traps that are lies. So let me try to just illustrate very simply how this could work, okay? Because the number one way to not be deceived is to know the truth, right? If you know the truth and somebody comes at you with a lie, what can you say? That's a lie, right? I'm not falling for your games. I know that that's a lie. So let's think about this super simply. Before you know how to do addition, all right? Let's say when you're like 3-4 years old, if somebody asked you what 1 + 1 was, you might say 5. You might say 7. You might say 6, right? Because you don't yet know how to add, right? But now that you've learned, now that you know the facts of addition, you know that when you have 1 + 1, you get 2, right? Because that's the facts. There's 2 factual, physical things in place. Okay? Makes sense? So if you know the truth, you know that 1 + 1 = 2. If you don't know the truth, 1 + 1 may equal 5, right? Let me explain this. So what is happening is deceivers, imposters, they're coming in and they're saying 1 + 1 no longer equals 2. They're coming in and they're saying 1 + 1 now equals 3. And the truth of the matter is they're trying to throw new facts out to say, maybe there's this hidden item over here that we've never looked at before. They're trying to change the rules of addition so that 1 + 1 no longer equals 2, but it now equals 3. And people are believing it. Very simply. And it's no different than with the Word of God. People are trying to come in and change the rules and the facts that are the Word of God to be deceitful, to be deceiving, to manipulate the situation, to be an imposter. And it's confusing the people of God. You know, it's happening all over in the world today. Because one of the number one things that we all crave is knowledge, right? We all want to know something. Now, we may not all like to study and go to school and do book work, right? But we all like to learn different things. Maybe it's just about certain topics that you're interested in. If you like baseball, you might like to learn more about baseball and the stats of your favorite team and all your favorite players, right? We like to spend time in knowledge of things that we have interest in. And you know what? We have so many different ways that we literally have information thrown at us today. We receive information through our parents. We receive information through our friends. We receive information through the TV, through the teachers, through the school systems. We have so many different ways that information is given to us and passes through our lives. Information is all around us, but when we receive and apply information, that's when it really impacts and affects our lives. So let me just give you a little example. There's 168 hours in a week, okay? Every week, you guys spend about 30 hours at school. So for 30 hours a week, you have information about reading, writing, different things in the education system given to you. That's 20% of your week where you're learning skills from school, okay? That's probably important. Like, I'm not here tonight to discount school. You need to learn how to read, to write, and to do the different things that they teach you. But let me give you this example. So that's 20% of your week. So some of you come to church on Wednesday nights, right? And you get about 30 minutes of teaching of the word. And then some of you also come on Sunday mornings. And so you get about another 30 minutes of the preaching of the word. So for the whole week, you're getting 1 hour of the word of God, which is the truth spoken to your life. This is less than 1% of your time for the whole week, focusing on receiving the information that God has for you. Less than 1%. School is important, but man, God's word is way more important. Put that into perspective for just a minute. Okay, and you might spend 30 hours a week in school, but I bet some of you spend more than 6 hours a day on your phone. Watching TikTok, watching YouTube, Facebook, listening to Spotify and podcasts, right? Listen to this scary statistic. The average number of push notifications, which you know what those are, right? Like when you get your little news ding, let you know a new news feed came up, or when your app reminds you that you need to do this, you know, like I have a Fitness Pal on mine, so I get a notification that says, hey, you forgot to tell me what you ate for breakfast. And I say, that's because I didn't want to. I had waffles, right? We get, on average, 46 push notifications, automated notifications sent to our phone every single day. That gives us some piece of information that we can choose to take in and receive, or that we can choose to cast aside. But let me ask you this. How many of you have a Bible app on your phone? Anybody? How many of you use your Bible app? That's what I'm talking about. My Bible app is a push notification. Hopefully your Bible apps are also set up like push notifications. But my point tonight is, when we have all of this information coming at us, how are we supposed to decipher what is true? How are we supposed to know what is real? How are we supposed to know right from wrong? Because there's so much deception around us, how can we decide the truth? And Paul begins to tell Timothy exactly how to do that. And Paul states in verses 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul tells Timothy to continue in the faith. He says, continue in the things which thou hast learned. That means abide. Paul tells Timothy that, listen, you were raised to know right from wrong. You learned the scriptures as a child. You were raised in a home that brought you up to know God. First thing is to abide in those things. Don't turn your back on those things. If you are raised to know right from wrong and you go out in the world and somebody tells you differently, that should be a red flag. And you should begin to question it first and foremost. Very simply, Paul tells Timothy, look, There are things that you've been taught. You've been taught the Word of God. You've been taught the patterns of how to live a life. You had a godly example in your grandmother and in your mother that both taught you the Word of God. Think about how they lived their life. And when you're thinking about how to live your life, ask yourself, would my grandma do this? Would my mom do this? If they're godly examples? And if the answer is no, then you probably shouldn't be doing it yourself, right? I mean, very simply, that's the first way we can begin to decipher the truth. Paul says, think about how you were raised. You were raised to know right from wrong. If the world tells you differently, then question it. Then begin to question it. Because Timothy had a good childhood. His grandmother Eunice and his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice raised him to know the Word of God. They raised him to know Jesus Christ. And Paul tells Timothy, stand on that. Don't turn your back from your raising. Stand upon your raising because your parents love you. And look, I know that not everyone in here tonight has the same raising. So it doesn't end with just that. He continues to say, for you have known the Holy Scriptures from a child. And that's why I feel like you guys can receive this tonight. You see, Timothy learned the Scripture as a child. And because he learned those scriptures as a child, when he was facing this opposition, when he was facing this persecution, Paul told him, you can stand on those holy scriptures. You can stand upon that knowledge because maybe you don't live in a home where they're teaching you what's right and what's wrong. Maybe you're living in a home where, you know what, they are being fed lies and deceit and they're confused themselves. Because honestly, that's a lot of what's going on in the world today. This is the key piece of knowing the truth. The key piece of not being deceived is being able to compare it to the Holy Scripture. When you don't know where to go to find the truth, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's right here. It is in the Word of God. This is the location where God has established where the truth can be located. Whether you're looking at it in a book with paper pages or you're reading it on your Bible app, the Word of God is where you find the truth. And we are to adjust our truths to what this Word of God says. So if we have been living in a way where we had been deceived and we had been lied to and we had been confused, when we come to know the truth that's in this word, it's going to reform us and it's going to lead us to know and to understand the truth in a new fashion. And our truth that maybe we used to have is now anew and it aligns to the Word of God. Because what is truth? Truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured. It is God's point of view on a subject. God is the one that created the world. God is the one that created the reality that we live in. And it is by Him and Him alone. His viewpoint is what establishes truth. God's word is the absolute truth. It is the perfect word, and it is found in the Bible. So if it's so easy to find right here in the Scripture, then why are so many people walking around confused? Because if you don't pick your Bible up, and you don't read it, and you don't digest it, and you don't meditate on it, and you don't try to understand it, it's not going to be able to change you. Step one is to open it. Step two is that when you read it for what it is. This is not another book on a shelf. This is not a novel. This is not a history book. This is the Word of God. It is alive. It speaks life. It speaks salvation. It speaks freedom. It speaks truth. This is the Word, which is the divine inspiration of God. It is His divine inspiration. And all too often, if we do have people that read it, they just think it's a book. It's not a book. It's the place that God has given us the answers to life. All life. You know, the other day, I had to put together like a biography about myself, and I put it in the newsletter to my department, my team. And there's about 360 odd people that work within my group. And I had to write different things about myself, like, you know, my name, my family, my kids' names. And one of the things that, you know, we were allowed to put on there was list a few of your favorite things. Okay? So I list my favorite food is pizza, right? I list that my favorite season is summer. I listed that my favorite book was the Bible. And let me tell you something. One of my managers called me because they have to proofread this newsletter. And he said, "Have you really ever read that book, the Bible?" And I laughed a little bit. And I said, "Yes, I've read it from front to back." Because I literally have. Because a few years ago, God told me, sit down and read that book from the very first page to the very last page, every last drop of it. And I read it. And I read it just like it was a book, to be totally honest and transparent. But I wanted to be able to say, if anybody ever asked me, have you ever read that full thing? Yes, yes, I have. But I was able to continue to witness to him. And to explain to him that every time I open that book, it speaks life to me. Every time I open that book, I can read the same passage over and over again. I learn something new about God, and I learn something new about myself. Every time I eat the Word of God, I feel myself strengthened. Listen, the reason I stand here is because there's nothing in this world that I'm more passionate about than the Word of God. I mean, I was literally laughing before I came down here because of all the lessons that I have piled upon myself over the last 6 months. Because that's how important it is for me to know that you guys know the truth that is the Word of God. Because the Word of God, Paul tells us, it's profitable to us. That means that it's favorable to us. It means that it blesses us. It's profitable for doctrine. This simply means that it tells us what's true about God. It tells us what's true about man. It tells us what's true about the world we live in. And it tells us about the world to come. Can I get an amen? Amen. It tells us that God is the almighty creator of this world, this universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. It tells us that God loved this world so much that while we were still yet sinners, he sent his only son into this world who died on the cross for you and I. It tells us about man. It tells us that we've fallen short, that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it gives us that promise of God's grace, that free gift that we find in Jesus Christ. Listen, God's word is profitable because it reproofs us for reproof and correction. This means that it does rebuke us. Listen, this means that the word is going to tell us what God says on his authority on a subject. This means that God has made some decisions about some things, and some things are right and some things are wrong. And we are to use this word to reprove and correct. And you know what? The world today hates that. The world today doesn't like that at all. Why? Because we're all selfish, fleshly beings. But what I love about God is that he didn't leave it up for confusion. It's black and white in here, what's right and what's wrong. Last night I sat in my room late into the night, and I read 7 to 8 different books, different chapters of the Bible, okay? And each of those were the same things. It was the list of the sins that God hates. I wrote down every single one of those sins. I mean, I read Proverbs 6, Galatians 5, Mark 7, 2 Timothy, 1 Corinthians, Revelations, and I wrote down 40 different sins that without a shadow of a doubt are clearly defined in this word. Clearly defined that it's wrong to do those things. Because they weren't just listed in one of the chapters. They were listed in all 8 of them. 8 times in the scripture it tells us, for example, 8 times in the scripture it tells us not to murder. Okay? I'm going to use this example. 8 times in the scripture it tells us not to murder, right? Now, we're all sitting here tonight and we're probably thinking, yeah, April, that's a no-brainer. Let's not kill anybody, right? Right? I mean, that's my go-to line, right? That's a no-brainer. But let me just explain. Even on the topic of murder, the enemy is trying to deceive us, okay? Hear me out. Every single day, on one of those push notifications, is a news story that talks about a different murder, a different shooting, some type of, you know, violent act. Every single time, every day, they come in all day long. They're all around us, right? So how is that the enemy deceiving us? Because he's trying to make us numb to the truth. You see, if I get so many notifications day after day that there was a shooting, that somebody killed somebody, that this violent act occurred, eventually I'm going to get numb to the fact that that's wrong. Very simply. And that's one of the ways that the enemy is trying to trick and deceive us by making us numb to the lies that are going on around us. The Bible's not all laws and rules, and I know that it's 8 o'clock, but I'll try to wrap it up. The Bible's not all laws and rules, right? That is one piece. But man, the Bible is so much more. Listen, this gives you the instructions on how to live in righteousness. This is what I love. If you'll go to verse 17, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, what that means is that the word of God is going to equip you with every possible thing that you would need to know to live this life. That's what it means when it says the man of God may be perfect. This means you might be complete. You may be able to serve him and live a life that is complete for Christ, thoroughly furnished, meaning equipped. When you have a thoroughly furnished home, that means that your home has everything that you need in it, right? The word of God has everything that you need in it to live life. Everything that you need in it to live life. If you're struggling with finances, read Luke 6 and 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. If you're struggling with illness and sickness, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Listen, if you're confused about science, because science is one of the enemy's favorite tricks. If you're confused about science, let me tell you this. Read Psalms 19. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. For there is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Nature validates God. Science validates God. If you're confused about science, it justifies God. It doesn't go against him. It goes for him. That's why science can't figure it all out. Because there's unknown mysteries of the great I am that only he knows. I mean, Shana Kayasadeh, he's so good. Listen, you know, I said, I wrote here, you know, we like to say, hey, there's an app for that, right? Let me tell you, there's a scripture for that. You want to have a good marriage? Find the scripture. You want to be a good person? Read the scripture. You want to be blessed? Find your scripture. You want to know how to have peace? Open your Bible, because there's a word of truth for everything that you need in your life. And if we would pick it up and if we would receive it, then we would not be deceived. Listen, we're being deceived because we're not applying the word of God to our life. We're not applying the truth when the world comes at us. We begin questioning the foundation upon which we have built our walk with Christ. And that is the gospel. That is the scripture. Listen, kids, you got to know the word. And you can't just know it. You got to receive it. In 1 Thessalonians, that's what they say. They say, I thank God because you received the word of God. You didn't just hear it, but you received it as the truth that is the word of God, which effectively works in all of you that believe. And that's where I'm going to come to a close tonight. You see, you've got to not just open the Bible and read it. You've got to understand that what you're reading is God literally talking to you. It is God speaking life into your life. It is God speaking truth into your life. It is God giving you the tools and the keys and every answer that you could possibly need so that you may live a life blessed, so that you may live a life in peace, so that you may live a life encouraged. You see, when we read this word, it transforms our minds. Romans 12 and 2. You renew your mind by the scripture, by the word of God. And not only does it renew your mind, but it renews and refreshes you spiritually. Listen, when we receive the promises that are in this word for us, we could reach new levels in our walk with God. This word transforms our spiritual being beyond our intellectual understanding. You know, there are times that I open this word up and I think, what in the world did I just read? Right? But when I pray and I begin to meditate on it, God begins to speak that truth into my heart. Truths like eternal life. Truths that we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. Truth that we have power over the enemy. Truth that we can be victorious. Truth that we can have strength. Truth that we can build our faith on. You know, guys, deception's all around us. That's where I started tonight, right? Deception is all around us. And you know, one thing I always tell my kids is that if you messed up, I'll forgive you. As long as you don't lie to me. Right? If you do something wrong, you can come to me with whatever you did. But I want to know the truth. Because there's not much more in this world that I hate than a lie. And I know that I'm tired of being lied to. And I know that the church needs to stand up, unified, as a body. And look the enemy in the face and say, hey, you know what? We're tired of being lied to. Because we know the truth. We're standing upon that foundation, which is the word of God. We want to be radically transformed by that truth so that we can live the life that God desires us to live. And so many of you raised your hand and said that, you know, you do use your Bible app, and I'm so proud of you to do that. And so tonight, as we come to pray and as we come to close, I want to first encourage you, just read your Bible. Just start somewhere. A verse a day keeps the doctor away. I mean, right? But if you really want to hit that next level in your walk with God, that next level in your life, that thing that you've been trying to get to, find the truth and stand upon that promise and apply the word of the Lord to your life. So tonight I want to go ahead and open up the altars. I don't like turning away without giving everybody a time to pray, because I know that for some of you, this may be that only time.